Hi, my name's Nina. I'm anorexic, and I'm very grateful to be of service, very grateful for the OA Footsteps Intergroup. I do a lot of service and really appreciate having the resources that are on the website, so very grateful to share my story today. I want to start with what it was like. I grew up in an addict alcoholic home, which I didn't understand from at that age as a child. I just saw chaos. I just saw unmanageability, you know, and things that were outside of my control. But, you know, my primary caretaker, my mom, being sad a lot, the partners that she was with at the time, which, you know, during my childhood, she had two main partners, that both were addicts and alcoholics. So it was a very confusing dynamic to be in, along with one of her first partners, being, verbally abusive and manipulative and all these things. I didn't understand what was happening or why I was bad, what was wrong with me. So it was very confusing to have that type of environment as a child. And I remember as early as age 7, just having this feeling of not being enough. And I feel as a child, how I overcompensated for that was trying to be the best daughter to my primary caretaker, my mom. And then the times I would go to my dad's, just trying to be whatever they needed me to be. So trying to get the best grades at school, trying to do sports, be obedient, do the chores, you know, all these things to try to prove my worth, because I didn't feel like enough or worthy at such a young age. And I also remember in elementary school, and really throughout all my school years, throwing out my lunches or throwing out most of my lunches. That's the earliest compulsive eating behavior I can recognize, because lunch was a very difficult time for me. I didn't want to eat around people. Most of the time, I don't really remember being hungry around that time. So it was just a really odd time for me, to have lunch at school and around people, and then also having the massive trash cans I could just throw out my food, and try to dodge questions if it was like, oh, you didn't really eat your lunch today, or you didn't really eat today, trying to avoid, you know, having to be asked those questions. So, you know, something else I want to touch on with my childhood is in regards to when I would go and spend time with my father over the summer. For a number of years, there was this big emphasis on my body size. I've been underweight most of my life, but when I would go spend time over there, there were many comments about how skinny I was, how sickly I looked, if my mom was feeding me properly. So that type of tension between my parents that I felt was my responsibility to mediate, but not to dive into that, but go more so into the body image, right? Of being a child, being told that you're too skinny or too small, you know. I also have a stepsister who's a couple years younger than me, and they would compare me to her and say that she was bigger than me or taller than me or looked older than me. You know, just those type of comments from a young age that are very confusing. Because honestly, I can now see it as, some form of, criticism and abusive, like, comments, you know, and at that time I couldn't see that. I just felt like, you know, I wasn't enough. And it really fed into that, shell that I had of being, you know, petite and small as a child, and then in my teenagehood, wanting to be thinner and wanting to be even more in that shell, right? Because that shell just, I believe, was developed quite a bit as a child, you know? So going back to the body image, I want to comment on also about the clothes, because there was this great emphasis on dressing appropriately, wearing shorts that came above my knee, but slightly above my knee, wearing, you know, t-shirts, not wearing any tank tops, not wearing spandex or leggings. And it felt very confusing because I was told that wearing those type of clothes when I was at my dad's was distracting and wrong and unmoral, right? So as a child, hearing these things is very confusing, to hear that my body is, one, not enough because I'm too small, and then, two, distracting, or distracting is probably the best word for it. So it was very confusing to kind of navigate that type of body image from a very young age. So something else that I want to kind of go into a bit is in regards to sports. I don't identify as exercise bulimic, but I do identify with some of those compulsive behaviors. And I feel as though in childhood, I did do some sports. And at that time, it was more so an outlet for me. It was a form of escapism. But really going into my teenagehood, it became more of a means of working off the food, of being thinner, of wanting that flat stomach, of wanting my thighs to be smaller, wanting my arms to be smaller, you know, really fixating on certain body parts that I wanted to look different, but also feeling like they weren't enough as they were, right? So going into my teenagehood, I want to touch on what really kicked off my anorexia. I had some compulsive eating behaviors as a child, and through my early teenagehood, but once I lost my grandfather at 15, who was a father figure for me, was also, a safe person for me, a solid for me, especially with the things that I went through with childhood. He was somebody that once I moved back to the East Coast, because before I lived on the West Coast, so moving back home to the East Coast, he was a solid for me. He was my comfort. He was somebody I could just sit with and watch TV, or, you know, little meals he'd make for me, that, you know, he knew I liked. And it was just a very soothing, comfortable, loving relationship. And losing him at 15 just totally crushed me. It felt soul crushing. It felt like losing my best friend. It felt like losing everything. You know, I lost my somewhat God connection at that age, even though I somewhat had an idea of the God of my childhood, even though I felt very judged by it. Once he died, that whole idea of God was gone. I just felt anger towards God. I felt anger towards the doctors. I felt anger towards my situation and very empty inside. So to fuel that even more, you know, I dove into my anorexic behaviors and starved myself. I remember after he died and up until we had his celebration of life, which was 2 weeks later, I don't remember eating in that time period. And it was just one of those things that I just didn't want to feel. I wanted to numb out. I wanted to make myself smaller because the situation felt so monumental. I just wanted to make everything smaller. So I guess going into what it was like with my anorexic behaviors, I would, again, like I said, wasting food, but then with, after 15, I would really just start skipping meals. So breakfast, I would have this certain beverage in the morning, typically skip lunch. And once I started working at 16, if I could avoid eating lunch, then once I got to work, sometimes I would have food at work because I was working in the food industry. But there were times I would totally skip my food at work as well and not eat until I got home that night. It was really like a hopscotch of what meals I could skip that day or what I didn't have time for, right? Because food had just been such a confusing place for me most of my life, that then when I had other things going on, like a rigorous school schedule in high school, as well as working, I was like, okay, well, what else can I make a priority so I don't have to eat? How can I live my life and not have to worry about food, right? While also feeling miserable, also not feeling well, which I really didn't realize until my abstinence. But, you know, I was very tired all the time. I was very irritable. It wasn't comfortable to restrict, but it was also what I knew. It's what I knew. It's what I knew to numb out. It's what I knew to deal with life and to be quote unquote productive. I'll talk a bit more about that with what it's like now, but staying on, what it was like then, I really was just into my into my anorexia in my teenage years. And then once I graduated high school and went to college, I really took off because I moved away from home. I didn't have that type of accountability of somebody checking in if I had a meal or not. So I had to purchase my own food and make my own food. And I was also abusing caffeine at the time, which I had done periodically throughout my teenagehood, but really in my adulthood, it took off with abusing caffeine and having mass sleep deprivation and just mass amounts of caffeine to quote unquote balance it out. So it turned very dark once I moved out. And it came to a head in March of 2022 when I passed out. I was in my kitchen. I think most of that week I had restricted, and my roommate, thank God, was there. But I passed out while I was trying to make a meal. And, you know, her and I had a heart to heart after I'd come back to consciousness and, now have a scar on my face. And at the time, gave myself a black eye where she told me I needed to get help. So me in my controlling ways, I wanted to just do it on my own. So about 2 months before I came to OA, March to May, I bought protein. I bought food for meals. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get back on track. And I could just not get it. I could just not make myself to have, the protein in the two meals. Sometimes it'd be protein in one meal or two meals or just one meal. It just could never stay consistent. So May finally came to a head, and I found out about OA through someone who was in OA a number of years ago and also was an anorexic. And I decided to give it a try and go to my first meeting. And I remember this feeling while I was there of hearing people talk about food, hearing the steps and traditions talked about in regards to food, hearing welcome home, hearing these sort of readings that I was like, oh my God, like, I'm here. Like, these people might not, be anorexic or be restrictors or do what I do with food, but like, I'm among people who, struggle with food as well. It's this thought all day, or this thought of avoiding, this thought of trying to escape, in my experience. So I didn't get abstinent right away. I did quit a job before I met my sponsor and got abstinent, because the job I was working at was a coffee shop. And like I said before, with me abusing caffeine, that did not work well. So I quit the coffee shop, and I think it was about a month later or a couple weeks later, I said in a meeting that I needed a sponsor, and my sponsor now messaged me and said she was available to sponsor. And we did our call, and she said for me to start sending her my food every day and to just work on having two meals. And at that time I was also having protein. So that's what I did. That's what I did. I had my protein and two meals. And with my perfectionistic mind, immediately I was like, oh my God, I need to get proper sleep at night. I need to, be on top of my hygiene. I need to work this number of hours. Like, I just wanted to have this perfect schedule immediately. And even though I didn't come to believe of a higher power right away, it took until my second and third step for me to come to believe. But I do feel as though, looking back, that my higher power or higher self, however, you know, the phrasing is for that, you know, told me, like, Nina, you cannot be a perfectionist about this program. You will burn yourself out trying to be a perfectionist with this program. So thankfully, I was just focusing on the two meals and the protein, which was really hard. It was really hard to nourish my body. It was really hard to actually make the time for those meals, to sit through the discomfort, the stomach aches, or the, for me, salivating, you know, because I was so nauseous when I ate, you know, just trying to finish my protein shake, just trying to finish the portions I put on my plate. It was a real struggle. And thankfully I kept sending my food, and I started working on my first step. And working through that first step was so powerful for me, to write about the unmanageability of my life and the powerlessness over food, because anorexia felt like this control, right? Because I would not eat. So it felt like I had this kind of power with anorexia. But really, like with me passing out a couple months prior, I really didn't have power over it at all or control. So writing on that first step was really powerful for me. And then working on my second step, and coming to believe, it was really scary. You know, I had talked with my sponsor about it, about my kind of reservations in regards to my second step, and fear behind it. But, you know, her approach to it and us, being able to discuss it, like, it really felt free. It didn't feel like it had to follow a certain guideline, because I can come to believe in whatever power. So it took a lot of pressure off of it. And by the end of my second step, I felt a lot more comfortable with the idea of a higher power. And in my third step, actually turning things over to that higher power, developing a relationship with that higher power in my experience, especially control, really being the higher power, that I had for a number of years, feeling like control with my anorexia, control with myself, with how I would present myself to other people, actually letting go, obviously not of all of it at once, but letting go of some of that, being able to turn things over one thing at a time, was just really powerful for me. Especially because a lot of my control is covert. It was very confusing to see what my behaviors actually were and what I was actually doing. So in working on my third step, that's when I started doing service. So November of last year, I started doing service. And it's really been such a powerful tool in my recovery to be of service, to chair or to lead meetings, to be a timekeeper, to host meetings, share resources for newcomers, share anorexic bulimic focus meetings, to share the OA New York intergroup or OA LA IG intergroup, you know, to share those type of meetings that I had found with other people was just really powerful. It felt like being in the spirit of service and of recovery. And it's been so important for my program, as well as connecting with other people, because coming into the rooms, you know, I'm 19, so I'm young. I'm also an anorexic, which I came to find out when I went to my first AB meeting, which I believe was sometime in October of last year. So it took me some time to even know I was an anorexic. I just knew that I restricted foods. But anywho, so finding, you know, finding that out, and being able to be of service and being able to do outreach with other anorexic, bulimics, compulsive overeaters, and everyone in between has just been so powerful, because it is really scary to raise your hand on a meeting and to speak on a meeting, to share your number, to be vulnerable in that way. Because that's another thing, you know, hiding my vulnerability, hiding my emotions, is a part of that control and a part of that shell of anorexia. So being able to be vulnerable and be willing to talk to people has really come with my service commitments. So currently in my program, I have about 2 to 3 service commitments a week. I get on a meeting daily. I have just gotten on a schedule of doing my step work daily. I send my food to my sponsor weekly. Her and I usually check in at least once a week, sometimes a couple times a week. And I do outreach. You know, I check in with other fellows. I do calls with other fellows. I also have meditation and other spiritual practices as a part of my program. I'm able to actually get 8 hours of sleep at night. I'm able to actually take care of myself, like when I'm sick, take medicine. 'Cause taking medicine was really hard for me. I thought that I should just tough it out or just suffer. So now taking medicine, having acceptance when I'm not in a good mental state, which is really challenging, 'cause I struggle with mental illness, you know? So saying, you know, I am, you know, depressed right now. I'm, you know, dealing with extreme anxiety or panic attacks. It's very hard to admit these things, but it's powerful for my recovery because it's me being open and honest, especially with my higher power and with my sponsor. And if it's appropriate on certain meetings, and, you know, that's kind of what it's been like now. So I'm kind of running out of my time. I don't want to run over too much longer. But what I do want to end with is it's really one meal at a time each day. And the more I focus on today, and if it's hour by hour or minute by minute each meal, it has just made a whirlwind of difference in my recovery. And I really feel as though it's led by my fellows, by my higher power, by OA. So thank you so much for letting me share my story. I'll end with that.